Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best-selling show!
You're listening to The Shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Fanny Warpus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is... Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. You all bunch of scumbags. How are you all doing on this fine, cold August Tuesday in the heart of London, as it were? Good evening, everyone. Hope you're okay. I am doing well. It's a bit cold. It's been pissing down rain for the past 2 days, so literally winter's coming. What fun that will be. I'm looking forward to winter. I prefer cold. I like me women like I like me seasons. Cold and bitter and, you know, horrible. Welcome to the show. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com, the greatest radio website in the world. I have been playing very little, but I do have a backup. I have some codes to give away to you lot. I do indeed. I have 5 codes, all for Steam, so, you know, as Xbox, PlayStation users, you're out of luck. I have 4 codes for Organic Panic, and I have 1... for the complete collection of Telltale games on Steam. Yes, indeed. Which I have been given to me by Sir Robert Workman. That's at DC at the DCD on Twitter, and also by Midnight _ City. So, you know, if you do use the codes and you get the games, send them a tweet. Tell them that I sent you. You know, say thank you to them. You know, for giving me the codes to give to you a lot. It's all part of the process. But yeah, so yeah, thanks, Rob. Thanks a lot, mate. I talk to him all the time, and he's one of the guys. You know, I've mentioned him when I first started doing the show as one of the sort of inspirations for getting into radio. But yeah, really good guy, and I think, you know, the amount of beers I've owed him over the past couple of years, I think I've got given enough beers to make getting pickled, I think. But yeah, I'll give out two now, which is, if I can just read it off my tiny little screen, it's 33XIA AXTG9 58KBC. That's the first code. The second one is JR. God, my eyes are shit. Yeah, JRZR7 EG. Sorry, EJMPE DG 9Z7. Those are the first two. I will give out the second two before the break, and then I'll give out the Telltale game code during the second part of the show. But as usual, you can get in contact with the show if you want to email us. I did get a couple of emails saying, you know, glad I had a good holiday and all that stuff. Thank you very much, everyone who sent the emails. I did have a good, really good holiday. And my voice is breaking, which is tricky for a 30-year-old man. excuse me. But yeah, no, if you want to email us, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. So if you want to email us, you know, I love reading your emails. Really appreciate it. Shows that you all give a shit. If you do want to follow us on Twitter, it's at MLR Gamer Radio. Don't forget, at the DCD and at Midnight_City. Tell them you say thanks if you've got the codes. Also, if you join a Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MLR Gamer Lobby. Get in there, get yourself in there. Normally I post a topic about stuff I have to talk about. No topic this week, mostly in news, because I have so much fucking news to get through. Bit stuff's been happening, bits and pieces that I've missed, and you know, because I was away for a week, so I've got all that backlogged and Gamescom. So much stuff, I need to get through it all before the end of the show, as well as giving away these codes, which make up for the lack of topic. But yeah, if you do have an idea for a topic, you can, you know, email me. I've read you the email address at, and the Twitter address, the show's Twitter name, so, you know, Twitter, tweet me, email me, you know the score. Also, if you want to like us on Facebook, which would be really appreciated, almost at 180. I'm very happy when I get to that. Facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. You know, go on there. There's thousands of you bastards listening to the show. Get on there. Give us a like. I really appreciate it. Don't forget as well, iTunes, 5-star reviews are a must and a need. Yeah, go to iTunes, look for More Like Radio. You know, go on there. Give us a review. We really appreciate it, and the fuck is that? Oh, okay, sorry. Just checking my phone was buzzing. I thought I was getting a phone call. No, but yeah, I do appreciate, you know, all the contact and feedback I get from the listeners. It's really appreciated. It helps me better myself, better the show. You know, don't forget as well, if you do want to know all about the rest of the shows on the station, go to morelikeradio.com. You know. And if you want to listen live, we are live Tuesdays at 9 o'clock UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. I know because winter's coming, the clocks will go back, so I'll alert you with the time changes nearer time, because literally at the moment, I don't know them. But yeah, so, you know, warlightradio.com, you know, get on there. Look for all the great shows that we have on the station, adding more soon, hopefully. There's shows that we've found and stuff like that. You know, lots of stuff going on behind the scenes. To keep you lot entertained. I'm just trying to think about what else I've forgotten. I think that's it. I think I've done the old basic stuff. You know, Twitter, you know, iTunes, you know. Get in contact with us if you know any good shows that you want as to add to the station. We'll have a listen, see if they're right for us. But yeah, I'm going to get on with the show now. but yeah, I haven't played too much because basically Metro Redux is coming. I think it's out in probably in America today. And I don't get it till Friday, so I'm off today. I've been off work today, got a couple of work days to do, and then I'm off Friday, and I can just sit here and just nail through the games. I can't wait for the Metro games. They're so good, and they've gone down in price as well. I mean, I'm getting this for my PlayStation 4, and it's gone down in price. I'm like, yes, two great games for the price of one. That's even less the price of a full less. The price is even less than, you know, a full retail price of what games are charging. So I'm like, this is pretty cool. guest in the chat. I'm changing name, guest. But yeah, it's a bit of a slow summer. I mean, I literally, as I said to you last week, I did start my my bad playthrough of Infamous, and I have finished my bad playthrough of Infamous. Yeah, very, very good. I prefer the bad playthrough rather than the good playthrough. Mainly because it's better to be bad, you know, as everyone usually says. But doing the having fights with numerous guards, and you know, when you have like the neon powers and you're just doing headshot after headshot after headshot with that sort of focused blast move, that sort of, you know, it points out, you know, there's a little blue spot on the leg to sort of incapacitate them, or you could just literally aim for the head and it just explodes them. You know, that just builds up your super special move meter really quickly. And I was able to take out so many of the command centers and the billboard missions so quickly once I sort of built that up enough. But yeah, bad playthroughs all done. Same as I did with a good playthrough, I went round, I collected everything. It's so much, slightly easier because I was sort of just sort of doing the main hubs, taking out the radar jammer so that I could see everything and just going over everything. But yeah, it's just so much more fun just being bad, just destroying everything. It was just really, really good. I mean, the story didn't change too much in places. I mean, I got to the, there was the good bad missions between with like Fetch doing hers, which was take out the activists, where on the good playthrough it was take out the drug dealers. Whereas I think it was Eugene. I think what's his mission? I can't remember what his mission was. Damn it! I can't remember what his mission was. But yeah, his mission was sort of more fun, and he was. It fit the story doing the bad playthrough the way the game actually should have gone. Like, you know, it's all right doing the good playthrough because you're good and that you save people, you don't kill anyone. But the way the character Delson progressed with his his good playthrough his bad playthrough rather than his good one, it fit the character more because he isn't a goody two shoes, he's a bit of a punk. But what he did, even though the stuff he did was bad, it was still for the benefit of other people, like for the people he cared about. Even though at the end, you know, I'm not going to spoil it exactly, but you know, after you've beat Augustine on the bad playthrough, you know, you see the bad ending. He might have overreacted a little bit. I mean, you know, you've seen the cutscene after he talks to his friend who had the concrete in her legs. You know, people who play this and I did the bad playthrough. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That what happened, what he does afterwards. A little too much. But I kind of smiled because I'm sort of sadistic like that and cruel. But it just felt, the whole playthrough felt better. I mean, what happened to his brother still happens, which was a shame. But there was more incentive to me to want to sort of kill Augustine because of what happens to his brother for the bad playthrough rather than the set, you know, and then the bit we had to fight. Shit, the guy you get your original fire powers from, your smoke powers, what you get him from, you know, that sort of felt wrong to do the bad choice than the good choice. The good choice was probably better, but what, I don't know if there was any sort of main defining aspect or ending, but even the stuff he did in the bad playthrough still felt better. You know, he was having more fun with his powers and what was going on with the DUP and stuff like that, but it is a really, really solid game, and it's worth picking up. I mean, the game's been out for ages, so it's got to be pretty cheap. So literally, you know, people haven't played it, go and pick it up. Don't download it. I think you can download it, but it's going to be really fucking expensive. Try and find it really cheap and pick it up. Play good playthrough, I don't know. I'd say recommend maybe do your bad playthrough first and then do the good playthrough. That might be a bit better. But, yeah, I say it's having great fun just doing this, being bad. I mean, you know, I was messing around with the powers and stuff like this, and the final boss was slightly easier this time doing the bad playthrough because my moves were sort of, the ending boss was, I mean, it's the same as your good or bad, but There was no difference because you couldn't really use any of your smoke or your neon or your video powers. You basically had to use the concrete. And it's pretty much just, you know, fight the boss the same way you did before. But yeah, I say it was, you know, tons and tons of fun. Just being a bad guy. I mean, that's what I like about this open world stuff. You can do whatever the hell you want. There's no limitations. And I mean, it is kind of depressing the fact that, you know, same with the good ending, where I got to with the good playthrough, when you go to fight Augustine for the final time, and you get her concrete powers, like, yeah, it's nice that I can do this, but the thing is, though, I've already taken over the whole map. There's only, like, a bunch of troops, like, messing around. Everything's under my control. But, I mean, I did like the differences between the story, whereas, you know, you got into Fetch's undies in the bad playthrough, whereas you didn't in the good playthrough. Eugene sort of came out of his shell on the bad playthrough rather than when he did on the good playthrough. That sort of stuff's slightly better in the long run than, you know. I mean, yes, good playthrough, you know, Fetch sort of got to deal with her demons, with taking out the drug dealers, whatever the hell happened to Eugene. He was a good character, but it's just sort of, he felt better to be a bad guy than, I mean, it wasn't even bad. It was just sort of letting go of your inhibitions and just sort of doing what, I don't know, you could say doing what felt right or just doing what was right. Yeah, what felt right over what was right, yeah. It was really, really good to, you know, to do what I did. but yeah, it's a really good game. And, you know, I'm all finished with it now. Done me good playthrough, done me bad playthrough. Probably going to try and sell it on, pass it on to someone else in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, it's a really good game. And I say, you know, there's tons of stuff coming out now. We've got, you know, I mean, my next thing, I'm looking at my list of stuff that I want to pick up, and I thought I had a whole load of this stuff on my Amazon wish list. I mean, half the stuff is games that haven't been had a release date yet. It's like, you know, Batman, Mortal Kombat 10, Mass Effect 4, stuff like that. I mean, I was a bit worried come November I'm gonna have like about dozens of games to play, but it's not really that bad. Because I've got Metro Redux coming out this coming Friday. I've got Destiny coming out in 2 Tuesdays' time. What else have I got? And then basically it's a bunch of sports games. I've got, you know, NHL 15, FIFA 15, Tiger Woods PGA Tour. Just a whole bunch of stuff coming out that I want to play, and it's pretty much just holding on for a matter of time. Until they do, basically. But yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff. I mean, I am playing my Pokemon at the moment, which is, to be honest, it's boring the shit out of me slightly, because I'm trying to do my whole 5 IV Pokemon, which is nearly done, actually. I've only got about, I think, what, 40, 50 left, which sounds like a lot, but I'm sort of blitzing for, I think I've bred like 2 or 3 today, and it's literally just having the time to sort of sit down and just sort of play it and look at the stuff that I want to do and just sort of, you know, because literally, I mean, I think I've got like 3 or 4 boxes of trainable, usable Pokemon on my Pokebank, and then once that sort of shifted over to my main game, it's sort of just scaling all that down to further so that I can sort of literally completely empty my Pokebank and then, you know, do what I need to do with it and to sort of delete it maybe or keep it going. I don't mean, it's only like £5 a year, so I don't know if I'll bother. I don't know, we'll wait and see. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've been playing. There's not much out, but I know next week when I'll be playing Metro, I'll be sort of like talking about how good it is, the graphics and all this sort of stuff. But I have some stuff that I have seen that I have been sitting on topic-wise. But this is important. This is going to be like a topic thing that I saw. This is from IGN. Are MMO quest chains dead? This is from this guy called Leif Johnson. He says, I spent a lot of time recently knee-deep in the world of World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor expansion, and I found it difficult. I found it a difficult beast from the game I'd fallen in love with almost 10 years ago. It looked the same, it sounded the same, but I never quite escaped the feeling that I was watching an actor trot about in a famous person's uniform instead of seeing the legend himself. Never mind the questioning additions over the years, Dungeon Finder, or the relative ease with how to tackle the game's challenges. I found myself mostly affected by the challenges to the concept of secondary quest chains in MMOs over the years and what they mean for the genre as a whole. WoW still strives on them, although to greatly diminish extent, but even what I saw reminded me why I keep coming back to Blizzard's Beast again and again for all these years. This is sort of worrying about quest change, because it not only affects MMOs, it affects all games, basically, whether it's, you know, RPGs and, you know. But I'll carry on reading. The classic MMO RPG quest chain, which probably best crystallized in EverQuest, going something like, you stumble upon a random non-playable character who tasks you with a job, usually some unassuming gig that requires something along the lines of checking out the spooky crypt. Things escalate quickly. What initially seemed like a routine kill and fetch quest suddenly has you on the hunt for a talisman that controls the destiny of an entire country, occasionally bidding you to bring friends into a dungeon to control to confront the baddie at the heart of it all. Succeed, and the quest showers you with XP, rare loot that lasts for several levels, and a degree of bragging rights that leaves other players eager to start the quest chain themselves. The best ones were often tangentially related to the overarching narrative of the game, barely concerned with singling you out alone as the hero. It is a group effort. It's a group system, and the one that World of Warcraft nailed when it first hit the shelves, real shelves, back in 2004, 10 years ago. A large part of the appeal was getting to see the characters many of us knew from the popular Warcraft strategy games come to life, as it were. But there were also endless memories forged out of facing down monsters like Duskwood Stitches at the end of a long quest chain, or amassing hordes of Alliance friends to take down Nathanius Blightcaller in the Eastern Plaguelands. It worked so well, in fact, that competing MMOs that followed in its wakes picked up the model almost wholesale, whether it was Lord of the Rings Online, Rift, or more notably, the Star Wars The Old Republic. It's important to understand that people were the reason why the system worked so well. It usually had little to do with the quality of the writing. The hallmark of a great MMO is that it lets you and your friends create your own stories. The social interaction fomented back then by the quest chain borders on the unfathomable today. You asked friends where to pick up the chain. Often it was an NPC out in the middle of nowhere. You rallied friends to help you with some of the harder enemies along the way, and you almost certainly need friends to help you with the dungeon portion of the quest, if applicable. People were the key to it in other ways as well. Random people would ask why you got that cool stuff or shield, as the cycle will start over again. To interject slightly, I mean, this doesn't actually just reflect MMOs in general. It's basically something that's been passed down through all game genres. Whether it's very, you know, I'm just thinking now sort of Call of Duty back, I think, with, you know, twos and threes. And I mean, it's all about a quest chain. The whole purpose, the whole purpose of, you know, the whole purpose of doing stuff like, you know, missions and questing, it's all the same thing. And, you know, because basically you're going on a mission, you're going to do something that you're required. And by that, you know, I mean, I've talked about this with storyline stuff before. That's the whole basic premise of a computer game. It's literally, you have to go and do stuff because that's the point. That's the objective. Your point is to get from A to B. And in between, you're going to do C, D, E, and F. But it's nice. It's weird, right? I'm going to make some sort of comparison here. I know a lot of people who have said that the fact that the way first-person shooters are these days with the control system is thanks to Halo. But there's been other games before then who have had the same sort of control system. And it's basically just because of the big rush that we had with the PlayStation, PlayStation 2, Xbox, all them sort of throwing in their two cents into the mix, that we have the main control system we have today. You know, left button to fire, shoulder to throw grenade, push down to crouch, that sort of stuff. It's all basically a mix of stuff. And you can't really, you know, I mean, I know this guy seems like he's singling out, it's, you know, singling out World of Warcraft as the game that changed history in video game. It's not like that. It's literally, it's everyone coming together as a community, as fans, and, as fans, as developers, all coming together, throwing our ideas into the ring and, add into the discussion and into the topics and saying, well, wouldn't it be easy if we did this and such this, throwing ideas around and, brainstorming, getting, just doing what we can do to make things a bit easier. And, I just clicked the wrong thing. But yeah, it's not one thing that's the main solver. It's, how quest chains are written out. It's from everyone taking ideas on how they should be. It's like with music. It's like, someone took this idea from this song or that album or that artist and made it their own, and then someone's come along, done the same thing to them, and just so on and so forth. It's the same thing with games. It's everyone's taking ideas. I mean, it's why we have fucking GDC, the Games Developers Conference. They all get together, have a natter, and then basically, talk about, we've done this, we've done that, it's not so secretive what exactly goes on. It's like, whatever's to make it easier for your games and make it easier for the player. I mean, yes, games have, gotten easier. I mean, I'm sort of playing Star Fox at the moment. I'm having a bit of trouble, but it's only because I haven't played it in so long, and I don't know. It's the same thing. It's like when you play a brand new game, it feels weird. The controls feel different and tight. But when you get into it, it does feel, it becomes more loose and fluid in your hand. I mean, playing Infamous. The first time I played Infamous, the controls felt a bit funny. They didn't feel, they felt floaty because the movement of the character is designed to work with the powers that he has. Even at the beginning of the game, when he has very little powers, they're still floaty because, the character will develop into the powers and stuff that he can do. When he gets the neon powers, running at the speed, the jumping, the flying, all that sort of stuff. That's how you can equate it to that sort of stuff. But where was I? Literally, I've lost my place now. Okay, here we go. So sometimes even the normal enemies present a challenge. Sorry, one sec. I've lost my place again. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Forcing you to group with other, with folks in the process, possibly becoming friends. It was this interaction and realistic reliance on other people that so attracted many of us to the genre in its infancy. Otherwise, we would have had a better time staying around playing, staying offline and playing Morrowind. Now, he's sort of in the wrong there, because you think about stuff that, I mean, World of Warcraft, yes, it's a great game. It's got fucking, was it 7 million? I mean, I know the people are dropping off that game like fucking flies. But yeah, I mean, it's because we've got 7 million people playing it. But the thing is, though, this game stemmed from the Warcraft series, and it took ideas from the Baldur's Gate stuff, the Dungeon Keeper, Dungeon Siege, all these sort of RPG, point and click with the original sort of thing. The isometric, RTS sort of similar sort of things. There's just name for it. I can't fucking think of it. But yeah, it all stemmed from taking ideas from all of that, all the past stuff that came out. I mean, it's not like, I mean, from what this guy says, it's like he's trying to say that, before 2004, there was nothing. There was nothing there, people. Don't even look. Don't even turn your head to look back at 2004, because literally there was nothing there. There was no RPGs. There was nothing. No, Morrowind, what the hell's that? There was nothing. Literally, it was Oblivion. That was the first Elder Scrolls game. Why it's got 4, I do not know. But it's literally, there is other stuff there. I mean, just because something's taken off so well as it has, I mean, as he says, he mentions EverQuest. That was the big, I never played EverQuest, but I've heard so much good stuff about it, and the fact that pretty much when EverQuest 2 came out, that sort of broke what it was. So basically, people didn't like EverQuest 2, and they just went back to EverQuest. But yeah, there's been other stuff. It's not fair to say that. I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I don't know. I'm sure I'm trying to sort of say it's like a volcano where it's just, it keeps bubbling up and joining. Here. Good one. It's like a river. Little streams, top of a mountain, all the streams sort of flowing down into one main channel. And that's what it is. All the different little streams, they're all the games that come before. And WoW is that big main river. That's the big thing that's took all the little streams that was, you know, your Baldur's Gate, your Dungeon Seed, Dungeon Keeper, the basic the Warcraft series, so many other RPGs, sort of turn-based stuff. You know, you know what I'm talking about, because I mean, all the PC games are pretty much the whole reason there is a PC gaming still. But yeah, all that formed and became the one river that was WoW. But you can't really say, you know, what he's trying to say is that, you know, before WoW, there was nothing at all. But I'll carry on reading. There's been a definite shift away from the model in recent years, arguably not for the better. Newer MMOs understand that interaction with other people lies at the heart of the genre, but they make the mistake of turning those people into a faceless mass. Quest chains still equate... I'm just sort of wondering how this equates to stuff like Destiny. I know I'm using equate a lot. I'm just sort of... I don't know. Sounds like Earthquake. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're all more about playing together in co-op. I mean, we could sort of say that the MMO stuff is what started the co-op movement. I know a couple of weeks ago I talked about the co-op, you know, games, more co-op. And as I can say, it's basically, I mean, I don't know if we're going to have the main river that is the co-op gaming. But I know that one of the streams would be WoW and EverQuest, and basically pretty much all the streams that were part of the form of the river that will become sort of co-op gaming, or if there is some sort of solitary co-op game, which, to be honest, could be Destiny, maybe, don't know, wait and see what people are like. But yeah, they could, you know, they will stem from the MMOs and your sports games, your FIFAs, your Maddens, racing games, that sort of stuff. Anything that you can play together, probably not racing games so much, but more, you know, your FIFA's, Maddens, you know, you have you and your couple of mates on one team, and then, you know, that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's all developing, you know, from people taking ideas from each other. But yeah, I'm sort of, you know, I'm totally buzzing for fucking Destiny. I can't wait for that game to come out. But yeah, I'll carry on reading. Quest chains still occasionally exist outside the main story, but they usually play second fiddle to the groups. It's group events that seldom require even looking at the nameplate of the player beside you. Guild Wars 2 takes this concept to extremes, as quest lines don't even exist outside the main story arcs. Most of the time, you're swarming to attack a boss on a timer. Final Fantasy, fourteen. God, I can't see with my bloody glasses on. Yeah, Final Fantasy XIV in Realm Reborn's fates caught with similar extremes, although it tempers with secondary quest chains themselves, and it's guild leaves that replace the fun of a one-off quest chain with something like a repeatable grind. Yeah, that's understandable, to be honest. You know, that's the thing. I'll go into that for a quick second. But yeah, you have, because I mean, I listen to Limit Break Radio, and they talk about, I mean, I don't play it, I still listen to their show because it's very entertaining. But yeah, they talk about guild leaves and stuff like in Quest. And yeah, the replayable stuff, it's always good because it's, you know, there's a little bit of money that you can just keep building up and over again, or a little bit of XP if you want to, you know, say you're about to hit a level and literally you've got so much XP and you can't be asked to do a big quest, just do, you know, the same little quest over again for a couple of times to sort of bounce up that little bit of XP. But yeah, I mean, I can sort of see the replayable quest as maybe the developers didn't have time to sort of, you know, come up with enough, you know, main quest to do stuff. Yeah, I just sort of, I don't know, it's tricky to explain, but I'll carry on reading. These features of Wondrous Riot after a game's launch. They give the impression of thriving community adventurers coming together for a common cause. The dynamism itself is intensely attractive, as it gives the impression that the world around us is alive, provided we ignore the strings. The strings pulling the puppets. Often, however, it's a fleeting pleasure. The warning signs first reveal themselves in Rift, where its titular Rift would spawn and churn for hours without anyone even attempting to get close to them. Far from being threatened, they looked almost lonely. Similar sights await to a lesser degree in Guild Wars 2 and Final Fantasy 14. I'll carry on reading. Disappointing, perhaps, but it seems unlikely that the MMORPG quest chain could ever regain its predominance as an alternative. As World of Warcraft itself demonstrated, there is a sad fact that players move on, not necessarily to different games, mind you. A new expansion might come out, leaving the former quest chains all but undoubtedly in when the bulk of the community's off on a new continent exploring new sites. Worse, much of the magic is played with other people online that are still strong in 2004 has long worn off. These days we're just as likely to be annoyed by someone asking for help. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Back in the old days, when something like this first, pops onto the market, we're all, happy for it and happy to play it and happy to see it. But then, as years pass and people play it and move on and people, that's the thing. It's, you've got to keep stuff flowing quite quickly. That's what surprised me about Destiny. The fact, I said about last week, their expansions in December when the game only comes out in September. It's quite close. But, no doubt we'll all be at level cap 20 and with all three of our different characters or more, depending on how many different of the same classes we want to make. I do have a sort of similar understanding of what he's getting at, but that's the thing. I mean, playing the same stuff over and over again is okay, but I don't know. It worries me when he said about, the worn off people don't really like being asked for help, but it's all the fun of the game, helping someone. You make new friends and interactions and, stuff like that. Pity as it's the classic MMO quest chain that best captures the Dungeons and Dragons spirit that spawned the MMO movement to begin with. No shit. Not the MMO. Fuck off. It's not the MMO movement. That's what I'm saying. This is what this guy's not getting. Yes, Dungeons and Dragons was pretty much the basis for all RPGs to happen. Yep, you're going into a dungeon and you're going to be one of these different characters and you're going to fight one of these different monsters. But yeah, it didn't literally, there wasn't a fucking jump between, a fucking Dungeons and Dragons in, the 70s to what it is today, which is an MMO. It's like, what was this great big fucking void in the middle? It's not. There was, Baldur's Gate and all the basic games I listed earlier. It's not exactly like this is nothing. This is something. It's just... This guy's so fucking stupid. See, why don't these people give me a fucking job? All this shit that's going on with the fucking game community and stuff with Kotaku and all that bullshit. It's like just a bunch of fucking schoolboy jocks just doing, shitty, stupid ass shit. And have no clue about the industry whatsoever. Whereas I'm sitting here like an arsehole talking about this stuff because I actually know what the fuck I'm talking about. Whereas these dumbass pricks are just... clutching at straws and just literally afraid to get out of their way and just sort of, stop kicking shit, basically. There we go, yeah. But spawned the MMO movement to begin with. It's still the best vehicle for a shared experience outside of a raid, indeed. In those earliest days, it is the way... But so to say, the raid, I agree. I can say about the raid stuff, the big alliance, the horde battles, all that spawned from this sort of stuff. It literally took ideas from several things, and now we have the great big, in Destiny, I keep going about Destiny. The game's so good. Literally, everyone who haven't pre-ordered it, go and get it pre-ordered now, and we'll all play together in a couple of weeks. What the fuck are they called? In Destiny, it's like the big event battles, basically. It's like there's a great big armored tank, or there's... robots and aliens and shit coming to take over something, or you've got to protect something, that's all spawned from basically what we had. I mean, Horde mode spawned from firefights from Halo, and all, it all pretty much fact that we were tired of just sort of beating the shit out of each other, and we'd rather work together to beat the shit out of the enemy. It's the way to other. Often encounter the friends you end up raiding with sometime. It's the best vehicle for a shared experience outside of a raid. Indeed, in these in those earliest days, is the way you. What the fuck? It was the way you. Often encountered the friends you'd end up raiding with come the end of the game. It's far from dead. WildStar implemented some secondary quest chains, and Elder Scrolls Online was essentially a massive compendium of quest chains, but without the memorable loot. But it's lost much of its personality in its shift to a focus on single-player content. Throughout the Leveron experience alone, such adventurers sometimes fill the plain work. Against all odds, the desire for the experience of the old quest chains lives on us in spirit. Countless innovations over the years, perhaps developers should take notice. Not 1 hour into my time with Warlords of Draenor, I found myself being asked to join a group with a random paladin, and we ran along alongside Thrall and Khadgar in a scripted rush to the close to close the dark portal. Why, I asked, it's easy enough, because it would be fun, he said. He was right, it's fun. And that's the whole point. That's why we play stuff together. It's fun. That's the whole point of why you do something, because it's fun. You play games because they're fun. You go out and you kick a ball because it's fun. That's the whole reason you do stuff. You know, sex, for example. We don't do it just to make babies. We do it because it's fun. I mean, I haven't had fun for a good amount of time, but it's fun nonetheless. That's the whole point. That's why we want to do the co-op stuff, because, I mean, fuck. The recent years, rage quitting. I mean, I rage quit all the fucking time. Not recently, the last time I did was on that fucking Rainbow Road for Mario Kart. But, yeah, we were tired of the rage quitters, like myself. And it's like, yeah, I just don't really want to fucking do this. I'd rather fight side by side against a bunch of AR enemies, which is why we have Firefight, which is why we have Horde, which is why we have the raids, the alliances, all this sort of stuff, where it's basically me and about a dozen other people all, you know, suiting up, pulling out our swords, don't touch the tips, you know, just basically, you know, gun in hand, sword in hand, shield in hand, you know, bows, whatever weapons in whatever game, whatever genre. We're just basically all playing together to take down the enemy. And we'd rather do that than actually just sort of, you know, hold on a sec. Yeah, we'd rather do that than just sort of kill each other, which is, you know, it's a lot more fun. I mean, do you know, the amount of consoles and you know, the amount of consoles that I've smashed up due to getting angry with games is a hell of a lot. I mean, I think I've listed it before. It's, you know, like, I think it was 6 PlayStation 2s, a PlayStation 3, I think 2 or 3 Xbox 360s, my Mega Drive or my Mega CD. I think it was my Mega CD I did. One television, a whole bunch of controllers, a whole bunch of shit, because it's sort of literally, you know, being taken out by, you know, another person who's better than you is a pain in the ass. But I'd rather have more fun than playing side by side with that person than actually having to sort of run across a map killing the bastard. I mean, that's what I say. I'm looking forward to the whole co-op stuff that we're going to get with stuff like Destiny, rather than, you know, I mean, I posted on several topics I've seen on Facebook. It's like, yeah, I'm going to have so much, I'm going to kill so many people. But yeah, when it comes, then I've posted like, yeah, but when it comes to sort of like the multiplayer stuff, I'm going to get my ass kicked so many damn times, which I don't mind. I'm not looking forward to, but I'm going to do the stuff mainly due to get, because there's certain items and stuff, quest items and bonus gear and stuff you can get from doing the multiplayer stuff that I can bring over to the main story. But yeah, I mean, the main story is where it's at, but the multiplayer stuff is for a bit of fun, you know. But I mean, you've got to look at it as it is. I mean, everything's changing and developing. I mean, this guy's wrong about the whole... The way he makes his article seem is that it's, you know, World of Warcraft is the pinnacle and there was nothing before it, whereas you've got to have to look down past, you know, follow the river back up the mountain, and you've got to see all these streams that basically came to form the, you know, the MMO river, which was, you know, World of Warcraft, EverQuest, you know, that sort of stuff. But yeah, it is a bit tricky trying to explain all this sort of stuff. But I mean, you know, quest chains and stuff, it's not exactly like they're a new thing. They've been around for ages. Yeah, one thing leads to another. You know, you set out to go and, let's say you go out, set out to get a chicken or something. And then when you're doing it, some guy says, yeah, can you, I have this chicken, but can you do this for me? And then you find someone else who says, yeah, I'll give you this to help that guy, but you need to do this for me. That's how the stuff works. It just basically follows on and on and on for that. It's just one big cycle of everything, pretty much. But yeah, that's pretty much talk about that. I did that for a good amount of time. It's quite good. Excuse me. Let's talk about this. Now, this was announced during Gamescom, but new Silent Hill coming from Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro, which I'm looking forward to. Hideo Kojima revealed a new Silent Hill game during Gamescom 2014, but he hid it in plain sight. The creator of Metal Gear had been rumored to be working on the Silent Hill franchise for years, but no one's thought the PlayStation 4 download PT would be the way he would officially announce it. Now, I've downloaded this, but I haven't literally, because I have been catching up on New Girl, which I have been watching all day, and I'm up to date. So I haven't had a chance to play it, even though I have downloaded it, but I will play it over the next couple of days, whatever the fuck it is, to be honest, but I know I'll find out from reading this, and I will let you know next week. Would be the way he would officially announce it. But if you beat the odd first-person horror teaser live for free right now on PlayStation Network, you are treated to a special trailer that takes you to an all-familiar town, Silent Hill, or is it Silent Hill now? The short trailer is packed with information showing a glimpse of an empty fog-covered town, one man walking down the road. We get a brief credit of Hideo Kojima, which is then followed by Guillermo del Toro, who, in my opinion, should be working on the new Hellboy movie. Meaning the director of the Pacific Rim and Pan's Labyrinth is involved with the game. Pacific Rim was kind of shit anyway. Then there's the above glimpse of the leading man, Norman Reedus, who plays Daryl on The Walking Dead. Yes, we all know that. And as with Kiefer Sutherland in Metal Gear, Kojima seems to be after bigger names to start in his games now. But it's not... Kojima shouldn't really be thinking that way. It's not the names that pull games. Just consider that it's Hideo Kojima. You know, fuck, he's what sold me on Metal Gear, and I've bought every other Metal Gear game that's come out, apart from the PlayStation Portable stuff, except for the one that came out with the HD Trilogy Collection. The only definite thing that we know right now is that the official title seems to be Silent Hills, and it runs on the Fox engine, the same powerful same powerful game design tools as Metal Gear Solid 5. Do the hills in a title imply a new setting for the horror series? An even bigger open world than in franchise history. Is there any connection to the previous titles, or is Kojima starting afresh? Is PT holding any more secrets? Hopefully, we won't be guessing for long. Which is true, because it's September soon, and we're going to get Tokyo Game Show. And I sort of want to know how this will stack up against The Evil Within, to be honest, because, The Evil Within, it looks like a really good game, very scary, and I want to play it, because I'm after a decent scare, something better than a haunted house in New York. But yeah, I'm looking forward to what we're going to get from this. I mean, I've never played a Silent Hill game, because when they did come out and were good, I was too young and pretty much everything scared me, whereas now I'm older and bigger and tougher and I'm looking for a good scare. But it's just, I don't know, I'm going to pick it up. I will pick it up and play it for you lot, and it will be hopefully a lot of fun. Let's move on to something else, because And the time's quite flying by. I mean, I'm nearly at first break. But let's go to this one. Yeah, this we are. This was this was announced today. It doesn't have me impressed, to be honest. I got this from GameSpot. Tekken developers making Pokemon fighting game for Japanese arcades. Pokken tournaments. There was literally an image of this. It was like a Blaziken against, I think it was a Lucario back in, I think, GDC. The trailer's up now. I'll grab the trailer off the internet later and I will post it on the Facebook page. Today, during a special broadcast, the Pokemon Company announced Pokken Tournament, a new fighting game based on the popular series. This is the game that the company teased last week, saying it would represent a shocking announcement. Are you shocked? Fuck no. That's me talking. Because, literally, I mean, I've been on the... I mean, all, you know, I'm fucking nuts with Pokemon. I've been sort of on the different Facebook pages, and I'm like, it's either going to be a Pokemon Stadium for the Wii U, or it's going to be this. Several people have been, as usual, saying, no, it's going to be something different. It's going to be like, you know, Gen 7. I was like, yeah, no, it's not going to be Gen 7. We've got the red, the Ruby Sapphire remakes coming out. It's not going to be something handheld. It's going to be either the Pokemon Stadium or it's going to be whatever this Pokken Fighters shit is. And it's this Pokken Fighters shit. The development team at Bandai Namco, responsible for the Tekken series, is creating the new Pokemon fighting game. Whether you're a casual player, regular player, or a hardcore player, anyone who likes Pokemon can have fun. Veteran Tekken producer Katsushiro Harada said during the event, as translated by Kotaku, which must have been fun because the woman had a dick in her mouth. Pokemon Tournament will be released in 2015 for Japanese arcades. There is no word yet on the possibility of release of a Western markets or on consoles. We will continue to update this story as new information becomes available. The next major new release of Pokemon is the remakes, blah, 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 what I've said that was coming out in November. But yeah, I mean, I'm not looking for this. I did watch the broadcast this morning, and it was, you know, it's all in Japanese, as you expect. But yeah, and they showed off the Namco band. I'm like, okay, what's going on with this? And then it's like they sort of showed the trailer. I'm like, yeah, okay. This doesn't look interesting at all. I mean, yes, it's a fully 3D'd out fighting game featuring Pokemon. It seems like the worst possible thing. I mean, some of my Pokemon friends are excited for this, but it's like, yeah, I mean, if you live in Japan, it's okay, but trust the Western world, I'm going to say it's probably never going to see this. I mean, over here, I mean, in England, there's literally... pretty much no arcades. I mean, there's the whole the seafront stuff. There's arcades down there, like Southend and Brighton, and, you know, places like that. But I mean, half those arcade machines they've got there are like 20 to 30 years old. It's like, you know, they're still playing the Jurassic Park game and the original Time Crisis and Time Crisis 2. That's how old the games are in them. You know, in central London, and there's a couple of arcades that I sort of populate whenever I'm in that area. They have some decent stuff. They mean, House of the Dead 4, one of the machine guns, even that one's, but that game's like 10 years old anyway. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. But I mean, trust, I don't think this is going to do anything, to be honest. It'd be great for Japan, they'll love it, but I'm just not really sure how it's going to work. It's like, do you have like, does the Pokemon know 4 moves and that's it? Or is it pretty much just a reskin Tekken, but with Pokemon? Which, to be honest, from what I've seen, it probably is. I just don't see how that's fun. I mean, it's, you know, with Pokemon, you're just better off doing what they have now, because, you know, we have fully fleshed out 3D models of Pokemon and interacting with, you know, Pokemon and me and stuff like this. Basically, well, they're better off just putting their ideas and money into a Pokemon Stadium for the Wii U. I mean, fuck. I mean, the Mario Kart sold, was it 2 million copies? I mean, the Wii U is still not going to do anything better than what it's doing now, which is pretty shit, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, Pokemon games sell like hotcakes, and, you know, anything Mario, Sonic related, you know, that sells pretty good on the Wii U and the Wii and Nintendo systems. But I don't know. I just don't think this is going to do well. I mean, it's going to make, you know, the Pokemon company a lot of money, but, you know, Namco Bandai is going to be pretty good. But I'd rather say, you know, Namco Bandai work on the whole Tekken Cross Street Fighter game that I want to play. But I don't know, let's do this Pokemon game. It's coming out next year, so it'll be done in a few months, and then they can just get it out. And I don't know. People will like it, or play it, review it, and it will just disappear on the radar. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. They're probably going to have... If it does take off, I mean, it's Pokemon. I mean, I sort of hope it doesn't stem out of, you know, travel out of Japan, but if it does, you know, we're going to have all these, you know, Street Fighter tournaments, Virtual Fighter tournaments that we have. They'll probably do Pokemon stuff with it as well, and it's just a whole new army of, I'm really good at this game, so I entered a tournament for this game, and now I'm sort of famous amongst the people who actually give a shit anymore, and that's what I can't stand with these YouTubers and bullshit about, you know, I'm famous for doing this, playing this game really well. It's like, just play the fucking game, you pussy. Oh, it just annoys the shit out of me, these people. But yeah, so it's nearly time for my break, which basically means I have two more codes to give away to you, dear listeners. I know there's a couple of people in chat asking for codes, and here you are. Get yourself ready. Yeah, these are the final two codes for Organic Panic on Steam. First one is XJ7BFEM4TT5Y6EB. That's the first one. The second code is KIJGYL3627 6LK9A. And that's the second code. But yeah, so don't forget, go on Twitter, thank at the DCD, my friend Robert Workman, and also @midnight_city. Tell them I said I sent you, and tell them, you know, if you've actually, you know, downloaded the code, tell them you said, you know, tell them thanks, because they appreciate it. You know, this... Yeah, they gave me the codes. Thank you, people. But yeah, don't forget as well, after the break, I have more new stuff coming up, and I will give you the Steam code for all the Telltale collection of games, which is really good. I am tempted to use this stuff myself, but I say I don't play much Steam or any stuff. I mean, I know I signed up to Steam like 3 years ago when I first moved out, and just basically because of I use my laptop for this. I really have any, you know, infinity to try inkling to download this sort of stuff and take up space on my laptop when I need my laptop to run the show and pretty much do iTunes and, you know, talk to the listeners. You do listeners. But yeah, I say I've got a whole bunch of new stuff coming up after the break. Don't forget, coming up later tonight, we have Alcohol by Volume, which is on about an hour. Then you have My Time Now with my hashtag flash shirt brother, Sir Darkside. And after that, you have Dutch and Royce with Royce and whoever he gets to sit on his lap. But yes, I will be back in about 10 minutes, and I will see you soon.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
More like radio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest bite another priest ear off?
Colorado Dickens said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickens.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and that is a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
I don't want to go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke.
Yeah, you can't sell Betsy's milk to nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. That's all I heard. Yo, I got pain.
I almost said I got pain.
I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the trunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I cannot understand what
What does the trunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, see this from,
What the trunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the, racism there. Okay.
What does the trunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess, an alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for The Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something. Something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of Peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about olive fucking garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you
doing? I meant I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio. You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the mic. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Hey, guys, check out my sweet Chimpokomon doll.
Please, Chimpokomon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chimpokomon video game now. Did you bring your special Chimpokomon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chimpokomon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Team Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chimpokemon so I can destroy the evil power.
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I'd better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Try to bump the harbor. Ready?
Go. I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Try to bump the harbor.
So the video game gave Kenny a seizure.
This game rules. And welcome back to the second hour of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Lots of news coming up for this final hour, and also the final code for the Steam giveaway. Basically a whole bunch of stuff that I've literally... You know me, as you all should. I've been doing this for long enough. I like to talk and talk and talk, and I never go through all the stories that I have in my prep. But this week, I have a whole shitload of stories that I'm going to talk to you about. Let's get rid of that for some reason. Yeah, this is from CVG. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare could spin into new sub-series. Sledgehammer loves the idea, but it's up to Activision. Of course it is. But to be honest, if it makes some money, I'll read and then I'll make my judgment. Sledgehammer Games would be happy to see a Call of Duty Advanced Warfare serve as the start of a new sub-series for the long-running shooter franchise. The upcoming title will be Sledgehammer's first major entry in the series. It's also the first project of the new three-year development cycle for the franchise, also led by Infinity Ward and Treyarch. So that's basically what happened, because I was a bit confused. I'm like, well, was it Modern Warfare 3 was Sledgehammer and Infinity Ward, as well as Treyarch making their own one. So basically, they're all splitting off and doing their own games, which is good, actually. I mean, it's a good... what the hell's the word they use here? Sort of marketing tool or something, you know. But yeah, development cycle, that's what I'm after. So basically, they can take their time... and they can learn from previous games that come before them, and they can sort of, there's no real delay on how long they take to make it, because three years is enough time to make the same game that everyone's been making for the past 10 years over and over and over and over again. Just sort of thinking now, when the fuck, one sec, I just need to check something. When did, okie dokie, one second, Google, Call of Duty... Modern Warfare. When did that come out? 2007. So it's not exactly, I thought it would be like 10 years, but it's not exactly 10 years yet. But nearly 10 years of the same fucking game over and over again. And people are still buying it. I mean, I've taken this game off my Amazon wishlist because I'm more interested in Battlefield. The Hardline, that sort of city shooter type one. But yes, we are. This is our current cycle. We are very focused on finishing Advanced Warfare right now. But yeah, starting a new Advanced Warfare sub series would be great. Sledgehammer Director of Product Development, Aaron Halland, told Trusted Reviews. Halland said the team loves the idea, but the future of the franchise is ultimately up to Activision. Since Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare released in I love that. I go looking for it. It's written right here. Released in 2007, the game became annualized and split into several sub-series, Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare, World at War, Black Ops, and most recently Ghosts, even though it was a, well, standalone title so far. Activision has not yet... Here we go, yeah, see? Activision has not yet revealed whether a sequel to Call of Duty Ghost is in development. Either way, the next Infinity Ward-led shooter will likely not arrive until 2016. Oh wow, so they're giving an extra year on Treyarch then. Okay. Yes, the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare release date is November 4th on the PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. So, it's not really exactly a sub-genre, sub-series. It's basically what we had with Modern Warfare. It was, you know, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and then Modern Warfare 3. It's that. It's, you know, it's not really a sub-series. It's, yeah, each studio is making their Call of Duty title, but it's part of that studio's timeline history. It's nothing, you know, you're not going to mix stuff that's happened in say, like Black Ops with stuff that's happened in Modern Warfare, because it's different studios, different stories, different, you know, different timelines. That's what I mean. Even though I didn't like the stuff Treyarch did, because it's Treyarch and they're shit, I did appreciate what we got with the timeline stuff that was from, like, World of War into Black Ops. Black Ops. But yeah, it was okay for what it was. Yeah. Okay, what we got? Let's have a look. Oh, here we go. Yes, Sierra. Here we go. People will remember them. This is from CG as well. Sierra Publishing Geometry Wars 3, which I am looking forward to, because Geometry Wars 1 was very, very hard. Geometry Wars 2 was fun as hell. It was so much fun. It was really, really good. And a new King's Quest. Defunct firm returns as Activision indie publishing label. Activision has brought back Sierra Entertainment as a new indie publishing label. Which was not... If they're owned by Activision, they're not really indie, to be honest. Because if they're getting funding from the big companies, it's not really, you know, it's like, you know, you listen to Alcohol by Volume and Kevin talk about craft beer. It's like, yeah, if it's owned by, like, Miller Coors, it's not exactly craft, is it? See, Kevin, I do listen to your show, mate. But yeah, the publisher made the announcement today, as reported by VentureBeat. The label will focus on working with gifted, up-and-coming indie developers working on their own amazing projects, or who are passionate and about working on great Sierra IP. PlayStation Network, Steam, and Xbox Live will be its main release platforms, because those are the platforms. I mean, you know, no word on Nintendo, but what do you expect? Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions will include 50 single-player challenges and 10 battle modes. It's due for release this holiday season. Nice. Very nice. I can't wait. The title is being developed by Lucid Games, a studio formed by several former members of Geometry Wars creator Bizarre Creations, which was closed by Activision. I love that. Closed by Activision in 2011. The new King's Quest is being developed by the old gentleman, otherwise known for the misadventures of PB Winterbottom, which I've heard is very good, which I never played, I'm afraid, and collaborating with the author Neil Gaiman on Wayward Manor. The King's Quest series helped define the graphics adventure genre, starting with its first release in 1984, which was 30 years ago when I was born. The new game planned for release in 2015 will be a reimagined take on the franchise, franchise's complex puzzle and narratives. So it looks good, actually, from what, you know, from that. There's nothing we can fault it on, to be honest. It does seem like a really good, something really good's going to come out of it. Okay, here we go. Now, this is a whole bunch of stuff, so I'll take some time to go through this. Now, we got an announcement of the Rise of the Tomb Raider, and basically, from this bit, I mean, I've got a new article on it, so I'm going to go through the older stuff, sort of catch you up on what's progressed. Basically, they've said this article came out on the 12th, which is about 14 days ago. Says Rise of the Tomb Raider isn't coming to PlayStation 4 or PC. Crystal Dynamics confirms. Shido says next year's sequel will only be on Xbox, available on Xbox. Okay, let's have a read. Crystal Dynamics has moved to explain why Rise of the Tomb Raider won't be released on PlayStation consoles or PC. The upcoming sequel will launch exclusively on Xbox holiday 2015. Microsoft and Crystal Dynamics announced Tuesday at Gamescom. This has got a week or so old. Crystal Dynamics head of studios Daryl Gallagher elaborated on the exclusivity deal with Microsoft in a letter to the Tomb Raider community, excerpts of which are published below, which I'm going to read to you. As you may have seen, we've just announced Rise of the Tomb Raider coming holiday 2015. It's exclusively on Xbox. We considered all of you to be the lifeblood of the Tomb Raider and the work we do at Crystal. I'd like to give you some insight into the decision that we feel this is the very best thing for the Tomb Raider sequel we're creating at the studio. Now, this is bullshit, I'm going to say. I mean, stuff's starting to happen and change, but, you know, I love that he says, we just announced the Tomb Raider exclusive, because we can, you know, exclusively on Xbox, we consider all of you to be the lifeblood of Tomb Raider. I love that, considering that the original Tomb Raider game came out on the PC and the PlayStation. But yeah, Xbox, yeah, the original Xbox was a piece of shit. 360 basically did everything for it. And this guy's such a cunt. He really is. Today's announcements with Microsoft is one step to help us put Tomb Raider on the top of action-adventure gaming. Our friends at Microsoft, but I know why he's doing it. It's to compete against the Uncharted, but what's happening with Naughty Dog Studios, it's, you know, you don't have much of a competition if they're doing as bad as I think or as good as I think. I'm not too sure because we don't really hear much from them apart from people jumping ship and all that sort of stuff's going on. But, you know, hopefully next year we'll have something on the game. Today's announcement with Microsoft is one step to help us put Tomb Raider on the top of the action playing genre. Our friends at Microsoft have always seen the huge potential in Tomb Raider and have believed in our vision since our first unveil with them on their stage at E3 2011. We know that they will get behind this game more than any support we have had from them in the past. We believe this will be a step to really forging the Tomb Raider brand as one of the biggest in the gaming, and with the help, belief and backing of a major partner like Microsoft. This doesn't mean that we're walking away from our fans who run play on PlayStation. Those are great systems with great partners and amazing communities. We have Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris coming to those platforms this December, and Tomb Raider Definitive Edition is available on PlayStation 4, which was someone's been making mine at work about this the other day. There's no real difference between the Definitive Edition and basically what we already had. We know that there are probably many more questions than concerns. Please do send them to us, and we'll find the best of our ability. Meanwhile, we're going to try and make something truly special, the most ambitious Tomb Raider game ever built. But yeah, this guy's so full of shit. But we'll move on because literally I've got several parts of the story to go over before I sort of finish. Okay, where is that thing? One second. Okay, one second. Where is that bloody article? One sec. Okie dokie. Here we go. Yes, sorry, got it. Yeah, this is what came out today, pretty much. This is from IGN. Crystal Dynamics talks Rise of the Tomb Raider Xbox exclusivity, because they've seen articles saying that.
Rise of the Tomb Raider developer Crystal Dynamics has confirmed.
Fuck off, IGN, you bunch of cunts. I don't really give a shit what you say. Fucking arseholes. Even with Adblocker Plus, it doesn't stop everything. But yeah, they basically came out and said that this is going to be a time exclusive. But I'll read what it says here. Rise of the Tomb Raider developer Crystal Dynamics has confirmed that it is a timed exclusive and defended the lack of clarity over the fact it has a finite duration. In a new Q&A, the studio elected to answer fan concerns and explained that while it won't be discussing details of the agreement, it didn't intend to mislead people over its nature. But you fucking did, obviously, with that what I read out just now. It's like, yeah, you basically saying about, you know, the Xbox fans with the lifeblood. When you've got stuff that, you know, as I said, PC, PlayStation, that's where we saw the very first Tomb Raider. Yes, our deal with Microsoft has a duration. We aren't discussing the details of the deal and are focused on delivering a great game on Xbox One and Xbox 360. Yes, Crystal Dynamics is excited to be partnering with Microsoft to make the best and game possible. As Darrell mentioned in his message, we have a long history with Microsoft and they have been a very strong supporter of the franchise. They will help us grow and nurture the Tomb Raider franchise more than ever before. But to be honest, you don't have to. It's Tomb Raider. Who doesn't know Tomb Raider? It's one of it's basically the Indiana Jones games that we basically have wanted for ages. It's, you know, we've been, you know, running. I mean, look at the history of games. It's, but yeah, you're running around dungeons, tombs, snowy mountaintops, and just, you know, killing dinosaurs and werewolves. Well, all sorts of shit, really. Zombies, undead, mummies. It's Tomb Raider. People know what they expect. The game's been out since, 1995? It's a 20-year-old game series. If you don't know what you're getting with Tomb Raider, you're a fucking idiot. You really are. And it's just, I mean, just, we've had, like, you know, sequel after sequel after sequel, but now we have this whole reboot where they've sort of... I mean, I'm thinking out loud. It was Tomb Raider... One sec. I know it was literally because it was like a 16-year-old Lara Croft. One second. Tomb Raider game series. Going for the wiki. Here we go, video games. Tomb Raider. Is that Tomb Raider? Yeah, here we go. The Last The Last Revelation. I think that was the one. Yeah, the Tomb Raider Last Revelation. Yeah, here we are. Yes, indeed. And basically, they were saying how this was going to be smaller tombs, more easier puzzles, that sort of stuff. And that was basically going to be the sort of reboot for the actual series. But now we've had Tomb Raider that's came out 2 years ago now. Was it last year, 2 years ago? And basically made Tomb Raider fun again and enjoyable. And now we're getting this, you know, Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's slightly set, I think, so far on, but I mean, they're not talking about exclusivity deals and all this sort of stuff, but it's going to be the same shit. I mean, it's not really hard to imagine what, you know, Microsoft has said. It's like, well, if there's going to be any DLC, here's a big fucking load of money, and we want the DLC on our system before the PlayStation gets it. So they were like, all right, yep, that's fine, that's a nice lot of money, that will make us happy. And but to put stuff that's, you know, not out straight away on one system. Yes, you're sort of shifting the market. You're going to make people want to buy... But I'm just thinking, you're going to make people want to buy Xbox One, which is, there's nothing wrong with them. I plan on getting one eventually. I have no idea when I'm paying for any damn thing. But yeah, I'll probably pick one up eventually. But... You no doubt that with this exclusivity deal, there's going to be some sort of Tomb Raider Xbox One or Xbox 360 model that comes with the game. They're going to charge a little bit extra on to make some more money on that. I think you're looking at about 8 months, to be honest, I'd say. 8 to 10 months after it comes out on the Xbox One and Xbox 360. Just Rick Carroll's thing. But yeah, it says, we do not make... this decision likely. Our goal is to build the best game that we possibly can, and our relationship with Microsoft will help us realise our vision for the game. I'm thinking now that basically what happened, Crystal Dynamics, they didn't have enough money. This is me just talking out loud. They didn't have enough money to finish the game, so they basically said, yeah, Microsoft, you've got a big shit ton of money. Your Xbox One's selling pretty well. We need some money to help pay for the game and pay for all this sort of stuff, and we'll do some big exclusivity deal with you. We'll put it on your console first. If you give us all this money to finish the game and you can get all this DLC and all this sort of stuff, and it'll just help us out, make it all pay for. Because, you know, I bought, I bought Tomb Raider twice. I bought it for my Xbox 360, and I bought it from PlayStation 4 with the Definitive Edition. So it did sell. It did sell well. I mean, to be honest, it didn't sell as well as I'd hoped, but it sold. It's Tomb Raider, and the game looks great. It plays great. It's an amazing game. So if you haven't picked it up, go and pick it up on whatever system you want. I mean, it's pretty cheap on PlayStation 4. That's why I got it pretty cheap anyway. But yeah, pick it up. But yes, I do think there was some sort of, I wouldn't say dodgy backhanded deals, but I think someone from Crystal Dynamics said, yeah, we need some money to help pay for wages and stuff like this, and we'll cut you in an exclusivity deal if you give us the money to help finish this game. I'll do that. I think I'll tweet towards Crystal Dynamics and have a word with them, see what they say, so if I can sort of poke the bear a bit. But yeah, I'd say they're pretty stupid to have a swing at me anyway. We certainly didn't intend any confusion with the announcements. The Microsoft Gamescom stage was a great place to make the initial announcements, but not necessarily go into details. Yeah, because it's all not backhand deals, but it's just sort of, dodgy dealings, as could be said. So I'm just trying to swat a fly. But yeah, I mean, half the stuff is kind of bullshit what's happened anyway, but we'll have a little bit of a think anyway. I'll do one more topic, then I'll give away the final code that I have to give away to you lot. Okay. 1 second. Where's that article I found here? Yeah, here we go. As you know, I love Destiny more than anything. Destiny goes gold fucking assholes. Goes gold ahead of imminent release. In its weekly update for the shared world shooter, the developer confirmed that discs are being pressed and packed into crates. That's not the only news to come out of the update. However, when Destiny launches, you won't be able to trade items with other players, though you can share loot with when you get. You can share loot. Yep, sorry, shit ass. You can share any loot you get with other characters on your account, which basically means is that one shared safe. It's the same with Borderlands. There's one shared safe, and you put your guns into it, and your other characters at that certain level can use them to kick ass with. But to be honest, if you're power grinding and leveling your way with other characters, those guns don't really matter because you do enough missions, you're going to find better and better stuff every time, no matter what your level is, and whatever's happened with it, basically. But as for swapping irons in the towers, nope, the developer explained, we want you to earn them. You should be able to tell about our story for every sweet jewel in your arsenal. Once you earn them, the various guardians, I mean, just like I did with that French guy that time when I was playing the beta, it's like just me and him against everything, and we just basically took everything down because we're good. Stories that are going to come out of playing this game have been non-stop. Other information about the Q&A includes the fact that you won't be able to skip the orbital travel when moving from one planet to another, and Bungie isn't currently chatting about whether or not to introduce a new class or subclass. I'm happy with the classes that we have got. It's basically your warrior, your paladin, your mage. It's basic, simple mathematics, simple RPG Dungeons and Dragons sort of character design. You have yet to maximize your first subclass, where we have yet to even let you try the second one. Exactly. I mean, we were only capped at level 8 when it came to the beta, so, and the alpha as well. So basically, we still don't know what we can exactly do with this subclass that we're going to get. As you asked again, once you have mastered the 6 classes that you'll have access to in Destiny, we'll show you what we learned while we were watched. We'll show you what we learned while we watched you do it. Destiny's coming out in a couple of weeks. I can't wait. The game's going to be amazing. It really is. Now, time to give away the final code of this evening. Basically, it's a complete collection of Telltale games on Steam. It's a very lucrative code. Get ready, people. QNDJ3ZBBHGA37ZN. That is the code for the collection of Telltale games on Steam. Don't forget, thank at the DCD, Robert Workman himself, and at Midnight _ City for those codes. I'd really appreciate it. They've started following me and tweeted to me during the break, which I've had a good look at their tweets. But yeah, tell them you've got the codes. Tell them you say, you know, thanks to them, because they're the ones I got them from. I do appreciate them sending me codes. You know, just tell them, you know, send me some more codes. That'd be nice. But yeah, have fun, listeners who have downloaded the codes that I've given you this evening. I do, you know, I do hope that you have a lot of fun with them, because I know I plan to. Oh, one of the listeners in the chat got the code. Thank you very much. But yeah, have fun, people. Go and play some games. I'll try and contact more people and get you as many codes as I can, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Here we go. Let's have a look. Yes, Far Cry 4. A game that I'm very much on my... something I'm looking forward to. Introduced a new character called Yuma. This is from CVG. Far Cry 4 character Yuma revealed. Meet the twisted Pagan Min's right-hand woman. Ubisoft unveiled a new key character in Far Cry 4. The developer introduced the new character via a Twitter post on Monday, which read, "Meet Yuma, deadly tactician, general of the Royal Army, and Pagan Min's right-hand woman." Very attractive woman, actually, with sort of pink hair and stuff. Aside from the mugshot picture above, no further information on the character was given, but we expect, as the right-hand woman to the lead antagonist, she will play a crucial role in the game. Sort of domineering woman, I think, from the look of her, but very, very strict, very... not as sort of whimsical as Pagan is. I'd say, probably authoritarian, or, you know, basically tough as old boots, really. yeah, sort of looking forward to this game. I really, really am. It's going to be it's going to be really fun. It really, really is. But what else we got here? Here we go. Yeah, same with Square Enix. Don't really talk about them much. Not with good news anyway, but this is good news. Square Enix enjoys strong first quarter. Game sales and profit jump despite lack of new releases. The Japanese firm's digital entertainment segment, which houses its gaming operations, generated 23.45 billion yen in sales, up 102.6% compared to the same period of the prior fiscal year, which operated income increased 242%, up to 4.5 billion yen. The wider company's financial first quarter yet net profit profit totaled 3.4 billion yen, compared to a net loss of 493 million yen a year earlier. While group sales rose 56.8% up to 37.8 billion yen. Square Enix only released one major console and PC game during the 3-month period. That was Murdered Suspect, but said it enjoyed strong repeat sales of titles launched in the prior fiscal year. MMOs like Final Fantasy XIV, The Realm Reborn, which I've heard is really, really good, which I am tempted to get into, but Destiny's on my list at the moment, and I'm going to have more fun with that than probably Final Fantasy. And to be honest, I can't really run anything on this piece on this laptop other than the stuff I have at the moment, because I'm worried it might crash it. And I don't really have the money to afford some new stuff like this. Dragon Quest X made favourable progress, which I'm tempted to get, but to be honest, I've beaten it already, so I'm not that worried. And I've seen the secret ending as well, which is, you know, better than what we got. While a number of PC browser games and titles for smart devices are said to have continued to build upon already solid growth, Square Enix recently confirmed its Gamescom lineup, which includes Lara Croft and Temple of Cyrus. And there's also mounted evidence that the company plans to reveal Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So Square Enix is doing well, but I mean, even on the horizons, we've still got stuff like Final Fantasy 14. Final Fantasy 15 that's still to come. It's so much stuff. I want Square Enix to do better, but even what they've got is still not overly impressive, but I don't know. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. I mean, I hope, I want more from them, but it's tricky to judge. You know, things look good, things look bad, but as long as they're making money, that will make them happy, so it'll probably avoid layoffs and stuff like this, and they'll keep making the games that we want to get, but I don't know. Here we go. This is, I think this is something I saw today. Amazon buys Twitch for $970 million. It's official. Amazon has purchased Twitch following months of rumors that Google was looking to buy the video game. The video streaming company. Amazon says the exact purchase price will be $970 million in cash. Wow. anyone's looking forward to doing a Grand Theft Auto robbery? Here's the press release on Twitch, which also put up a message on their website today. This is from yesterday, actually. Today announced, yes, Amazon.com Inc., blah, 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 blah. Today announced that it's reached an agreement to acquire Twitch Interactive Inc., the leading live video video platform for gamers. In July, more than 55 million unique visitors viewed more than 15 billion minutes. That's not that much when you think about it. Of content on Twitch, produced by more than 1 million broadcasters, including individual gamers, pro players, publishers, developers, media outlets, conventions, and stadium filling esports. Fuck off with the esports organizations. But I mean, I've got a Twitch channel because I literally signed up for one. I have no interest in using it whatsoever. I mean, I know what Twitch is because, I mean, I know I got moaned at by the, when it was it Rage Quit Radio? It was Elite Speakers. But yeah, I say, I have no use for Twitch. I really don't. I really couldn't give a shit. I mean, yes, I know we had like the Pokemon World Tournament the past weekend. But I'm like, yeah, I mean, I love Pokemon and I'm looking forward to going to Nationals next year. But I really couldn't give a shit to watch the Nationals, even though my friend was in it. I just thought, yeah, just tell me the win at the end of it, and then I'll give a shit. And I'm like, okay, let me just sort of think how I can do better for next year to get myself to Worlds. But I say, I just, if I don't really like watching stuff live, because the thing, we're watching, the whole thing with this, it's like, yeah, we're watching the stuff on our Xboxes or on our PlayStations on our big screen TVs. And like, yeah, that's nice that we're watching stuff. We're watching other people play games on our consoles on our big screen TVs when we could be playing games on our big screen TVs, on our Xboxes, on our PlayStations. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. But people are watching it, you know. But it's not much if you think it was a million broadcasters, and it's only 15 billion minutes. It's not much, to be honest. In the grand scheme, it's not much, but you know, it's probably like some of those billions of people, millions of people who aren't even watching anyway. They just sign up for an account, like I did. I mean, I've barely watched anything. I think I watched that Play Pokemon bullshit that was going on. That was terrible. It's boring. That's the thing. It's boring. Just, you know, pick up a fucking console, a controller, and just play your game yourself. Here we are. Broadcasting and watching gameplay is a global phenomenon. Twitch has built a platform that brings tens of millions of people who watch billions of minutes of games each month. From the international to breaking world records for Mario to game conferences like E3, and amazingly, Twitch is only 3 years old. I'd never heard of it for a few months ago anyway. Said Jeff Bezos, founder and CEO of Amazon.com. Like Twitch, we obsess over customers and like to think differently. And we look forward to learning from them and helping them move even faster to build new services for the gaming community. Amazon and Twitch optimize for our customers first and are both believers in the future of gaming, said Twitch CEO Emmett Shear. Being part of Amazon will let us do even more for our community. We will be able to create tools and services faster than we could have immediately. Independently. This change will mean great things for our community and will let us bring Twitch to even more people around the world. Yeah, because you basically just get, yeah, Twitch sponsored by Amazon, you know. It's the whole Amazon name and stuff like that. Twitch landed in June of 2011 to focus exclusively on live videos for gamers under the terms of agreement, which has been approved by Twitch's shareholders. Amazon will acquire all of the outstanding shares of Twitch for approximately $970 million in cash, as adjusted for the assumption of options and other items. Subject to customary closing conditions, the acquisition is expected to close in the second half of 2014. But yeah, so, yeah, they're buying it. It's sold. Good for them, I guess. But I don't know. I have no use for Twitch. It's just not something that, you know, I really want to use. I have no real need to. I mean, apart from the conferences, but I mean, I can just literally watch them on YouTube anyway. So what's the point? That's the thing. It's like you've got YouTube. And the only reason that we have Twitch is because YouTubes have been a bunch of arseholes about showing game coverage with sounds, because we want to pirate soundtracks. Seriously, if they were that worried, there are so many other places to get, you know, games and pirated soundtracks and stuff anywhere else on the internet, and they're worried about on YouTube. It's like, yeah, I go on YouTube to watch fucking game endings for games that I haven't played or didn't finish. Okay, let's have a look. Just trying to find something. Here we go. Yeah, here we go. Minecraft, yeah. Yeah, Minecraft, PlayStation 4 technical issues cast doubt over August release date. This is from Eurogamer.net. We're fixing, but we need to go through the process again. Microsoft PlayStation 4 edition may miss its August release window after Sony spotted technical issues during a test. Developer 4J Studios relayed the bad news last night via Twitter and told fans that another wait was now in store. Sony found some issues we have to fix in their final test of Minecraft for the PlayStation 4. Was it 4J Studios wrote, "We're fixing, but we need to go through the process again. Fans have been waiting for since the start of August for a final launch date for the game, launch of the game on PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, and Xbox One." All three versions were dated for launch during this month. Although as the days roll by, it is looking increasingly unlikely. The game's PlayStation 4 version was sent to Sony for final testing on 12th of August. 4J previously released another, previously revealed another wait of the same length time would see the game launch in early September. There's been even less news on the game's Xbox One and PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita versions, as of 12th of August. 4J was still trying to bug fix both. It's unknown whether 4J plans to release the three games at the same time, or whether its agreements with Microsoft and Sony may mean that it may be waiting to launch versions for both companies simultaneously. Xbox boss Phil Spencer told fans on Twitter that he is now checking on the state of Microsoft's Xbox One version in response to 4J's news. At Sony, each division of the company has its own certification team, meaning that a game has to go through the same process at SCEA in North America, SCEE in Europe, and SCEJ in Japan. Microsoft's certification process sees titles get a single global certificate for the release in all territories. But yeah, to be honest though, listen, right, if you're that in a hurry to play Minecraft on your PlayStation 4, you're a fucking idiot. Go, if you really want to play it, pick it up on the PC or pick it up on the PlayStation 3 or your Xbox 360, because there's no reason anyone should be playing this game on the current gen consoles. The most powerful games consoles that are available to date and best graphics and stuff, to play a pixelated Lego game, basically. Build your own world, build your own whatever. There's no reason why you're looking to have the best graphics on a game, a pixelated game that looks like this, basically. If you do, say you're an idiot. You really are. But let's find some more stuff to shout about. Here we go, yeah. This is from Eurogamer as well. The Behemoth releases teaser trailer for Game 4. Alien Hominid, Castle Crashers, and Battle Block Theatre developer The Behemoth has teased its upcoming project called Game 4 in a new trailer. While Kojima Productions has set the bar for teasers ridiculously high as of late, The Behemoth's new trailer is still widely entertaining and captures the studio's penchant for ridiculous surreal humour. I watched the trailer for this. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I loved Castle Crashers. Alien Hominid, I played the demo of. Very fun. Very hard as well. But yeah, Battle Block Theatre, very fun as well. I played the demo of that, but really, really good. While we don't know what genre Game 4 is, The Behemoth noted that it will be a departure from the studios for the studio that previously stuck to 2D brawlers and platformers. This game is of a genre we haven't covered before and seek to breathe a new flavour into. The developer cheekily hinted at it on its blog. Maybe you can find a hint in the video below about which the genre it is. Previously, the developer revealed that the mysterious project is coming to Xbox One, though it's unclear if it will be exclusive. The Behemoth will make its full reveal next week at PAX Prime, which is this week. Where Game 4 will be playable. Nice. I'm interested in this. I mean, I got totally befuddled when I was looking at this. I thought Behemoth? I was like, hang on, no. Bethesda? No. Because I thought my Game 4, it's like a... not Far Cry. Fallout. There we go. I knew it would start with an F. Yeah, listener chat. No, mate, sorry. I gave out the... I only had one telltale code, and basically I gave that out about 15 minutes ago. But I'll try and get some more codes in the future, so keep listening to the show. I'll try and find something else to talk about. Let's have a look what we've got on this list here. Yeah, here we go. This is from CVG. Valve suspected to have soft launch Source 2 engine. The new Dota 2 workshop tools believed to carry signs of next-gen game engine. There we are, I'll get the words right and the right round. The group of modders and game enthusiasts suspect that Valve has quietly soft-launched Source 2, the long-awaited game engine that could be the building blocks for future games such as Left 4 Dead 3 and Half-Life 3, which, to be honest, look like they're supposed to be coming out now from what I've been hearing rumours-wise, people have been whispering them in my ear. In the early hours on Thursday, Valve announced it had released the workshop tools for Dota 2, allowing modders to create and distribute custom game modes. Notably, the new tools have relatively high system requirements, such as the 64-bit versions of Windows and a DirectX 11 compatible graphics card. In a message posted on Steam, Valve acknowledged that this is a developer-focused release and currently has high system requirements, but did not suggest that this was tied to its Source 2 engine. However, hours after its release, a modder who posted on Reddit as Roy Awesome has gathered evidence to suggest, as is a belief, that the Valve has soft launched the Source 2. At the centre of the theory is that while Dota 2's assets are the same in the new workshop update, the code is meaningfully different. Everything in this package is a new game, he writes. It's all the Dota assets and code ported over to Source 2. That's why Hammer, a game editor, is different. That's why the console is different. Valve has just soft-launched the entire Source 2 engine. And that suggested itself has triggered a debate on the Reddit thread, where users are cross-examining this claim. It could be that the case that Workshop is related to Valve's new tech, but it's not outright the engine itself. The thread author points out that everything that could share a name with the source is named 2. That's 2.dll and a bunch of technical bullshit that I don't understand. Maybe people who do like your Dota stuff and your Half-Life, maybe we are getting that Half-Life 3 that people have always wanted and a Left 4 Dead 3. I mean, I wouldn't mind actually a Left 4 Dead 3. I'd pick it up and get into it because I know a bunch of other people I'd play with as well would be into it if it came to, you know, the home consoles. But Half-Life 3 isn't something that's on my my radar, to be honest. Here we go. Yeah, I'll finish up this with some Far Cry 4 stuff. This is from CVG. Far Cry 4 includes missions set outside of the game world. Ubisoft Toronto working on sections not set in the region of Kryat. Far Cry 4's missions will not solely be set in the main game world of Kryat, the title's creative director has confirmed. The single-player story puts players in control of a Nepal native called AJ, who returns to Kryat to scatter his mother's ashes and is caught up in a civil war involving evil despot Pagan Min. However, in a recent interview with Red Bull, the game's creative director, Alex Hutchinson, revealed that while Ubisoft Montreal is working on the game's main missions, its Toronto and Shanghai studios are also working on sections not set in Kryat. The core of the game is developed in Montreal, as well as the main missions and most of the open world, he explained. We try to leverage our co-development studio's talents on self-contained elements of the game so that they can have a certain degree of independence in production while sticking closely to the core creative vision of the game. Ubisoft Toronto is working on a series of missions set in an all-new environment outside the game world, and so is Ubisoft Shanghai. We'll be showing off their work at a later date. Hutchinson also confirmed that Red Storm Studios, which is currently working on The Division, is handling Far Cry 4's competitive multiplayer mode. The Far Cry 4 release date is November 18th in North America and 21st in Europe, all on PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. That pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thanks you all for listening, all the people in the chat. If you got those codes, don't forget, as soon as this goes up, you'll be able to hear it again, and the codes will be put. You'll be able to listen to the codes again. Good luck to people who got the codes. If you did, email me. You can email me. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. You can message me on Twitter. It's at @mlrgamerradio. And also, you can join our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. And also, like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. So don't forget as well, coming up after me is Alcohol by Volume with Kevin. And then after that, you've got My Time Now with Sir Darkseid. And after that, you've got Dutch and Royce. Don't forget, I say it's only Tuesday. There's plenty more time, plenty more great shows on Morlock Radio, Hit Producers tomorrow, Red Show, 360 on 420, so many, the Orange Show, It's All About Me, so many, I can't name them. But go to morlockradio.com, have a look there, you'll find out where all the shows are, basically how to contact the show host, how to get involved with the show. So don't forget, any of the shows, like live radio shows that you listen to, that do on the internet, get in touch with the station. We'd like to know some more shows that you'd like maybe to hear on the station. Don't forget iTunes as well. Go on there. Leave us a review. 5-star preferably. Just search for Morlock Radio. If you're listening now and you want your friends to listen, share it with them. Tell them about your show. Tell them about my show. Tell them about, Old School Wrestling Review, Conti and Kenny, any of the shows that we do on the station. Let your friends know there's always something for somebody. If you like comedy, you like gaming, you like... because I'm not the only gaming show. There's Rage Group Radio, the whole bunch of stuff on the station to listen to. All you got to do, go to morlock.com, tune in. We're all on there. Stitcher, get yourself involved. Not sure what topic is for next week. I'll think of something, no doubt. Normally find an article or something that will keep me talking for a good amount of time that will interest me enough. Thanks for listening, everyone. And I'll see you again next week, same time, 9 o'clock UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern, morlockradio.com/live. And I'll see you next week.
think fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
My God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.